Well, good morning, church. Good morning. If you could make your way back to your seats, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Can I put in a little note for everybody that's planning on coming to the church tonight to watch the NRL Grand Final? 6 o'clock is when we're gathering. Game kicks off at 6:30 our time. So don't come at 7:30. Come at 6:30 if you're coming tonight, and enjoy watching the Broncos win. That will be amazing, amazing, amazing. I want to give a big shout out and happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Elma, who's online today. 86 years of age. Give her a big welcome. Happy birthday, Nan. Well done. 86 years of age. What an outstanding effort. And they're screening in today, Cheryl's mum and dad, Ron and Elma, from the cabin at our place, as they do every Sunday. This week has been a massive week. For those that haven't heard, I've been up in Bundaberg since Tuesday night. Worked all day, then did Connect Group. Halfway through Connect Group, got a phone call that I needed to come to Bundaberg for mum, who was not in a good place at all. She was in hospital and really battling, and really for a few days there, she was shaking hands with St. Peter at the pearly gates, and getting ready to go to heaven was what we thought. And as a last-ditch effort of what the doctors did, they were able to keep her here on earth. And she's discharged from hospital yesterday. She's at home now, online. Hello, Mum. Good to see you this morning. Have you tuning in? And just wonderful. I want to thank you all for your prayers, for those that were aware, those that were praying and just supporting our family. And we really do appreciate all the love and support that we felt during that time. You know, it's good to know when you're going through the fire that not only is there another one in terms of God being right there, but friends around you is amazing. So good on you, church. We appreciate that so much. Our legacy offering weekend is coming up in a few weekends' time, about 3 weekends, I think it is. It's on the 22nd of October. If you're new to our church family, if you've come within the last 12-month period, it's something that we do and celebrate every year. It's a massive celebration day for us as a church, as we gather as a collective community of faith to honor God above and beyond what we would normally do with our normal regular giving and honoring of God with our tithes. We do it based on an offering in the Old Testament that was called first fruits, where the children of Israel would bring the first of the harvest to the house of the Lord. And we kind of try and translate that into modern day life, because we're not farmers. I don't know any farmers in the church today that are real farmers, that, you know, grow produce and or grow cattle or grow sheep and do that kind of thing. So most of us have jobs and careers and businesses, and we work and we trade time for dollars, or we invest and we make money that way. Well, the Bible talks about whatever your land produces, bless the Lord with it, whatever your land produces. And first fruits harvest is about coming and honoring God in a significant, above and beyond way with our finances. And so as a church, really ever since we've been here as a church, we've done this offering annually, every year, no matter what, year in, year out, we've done it. We set a goal every year, and we set a goal to really just motivate people is what we do, and we've kept that goal around the same territory for the last 4 or 5 years. And that goal that we've set is $130,000. $130,000, which sounds a lot of money when you say it, but it amazes me that every year we've been right up there and surpassed that, and it's been absolutely amazing to see what God has done. Now, $130,000 is a lot for any one person to give, but thankfully we're not looking for one person. We're wanting to do this as a collective, is what we're wanting to do. And so if you break it down, it's 130 people giving $1,000 each, or it's 100 people giving $1,300 each. Whatever you give, that's between you and God. But what I want to suggest to you is that maybe a first fruits harvest for you and I might look like the presentation and the offering of a week's salary to the Lord, something like that. And I don't want that to be your limit. I don't want you to sign off on that for many, because many of us go well and beyond, as we do, Cheryl and I and the members of our team. We certainly do that, and I know many others do also. So what we do is we bring an offering on the day in an envelope, a gift that we want to give on the day. And we also understand that for us and for you, for many of us, you might not have the capacity physically in your bank account to give what your heart wants to give. And so we give the opportunity to pledge it over a 12-month period. So next weekend we'll hand out pledge cards for those that want those, and ask you simply to pray about it, and to ask God what he might have you do and how you can participate in that special day as we gather together. Our theme for Legacy this year is more than able. More than able. And we simply believe that God is more than able to do what he has promised to do and to do what we need him to do. And so we gather with real faith for that day. Anyone excited about that? Yeah. Come on, I am. I am really excited about that opportunity collectively as a church family for that day. It will be absolutely amazing. Well, today we're going to preach, and we're going to talk about Good Farmer. That's a series that we started. We started it a few weeks ago, but we only did one sermon so far because last week we were ready to preach, but we didn't preach, and so that sermon's kind of got tucked away, and we'll see whether we use it as a part of this series or not. So today is a new thought in the series of Good Farmer. Good Farmer is intentionally spelt that way because it's kind of a takeoff of the word karma, good karma. And we've all heard of the thought of karma, which is based and in Hindu philosophy, which is all about the law of cause and effect, that what goes around comes around. And I know many people in the world operate on that basis and think about things that way and operate on that ideology and philosophy for life. Well, we don't. We operate in a different way, a different level. It's a different truth. It has a similar principle to it, but it's a different truth altogether. It's the law of Good Farmer, the law of sowing and reaping is the law that we operate on, where our thoughts, our attitudes, our habits, our behaviors, our actions are all seeds that determine future outcomes for us. And every one of us are sowing in this room today. Every one of us is a farmer in a spiritual sense and in a life sense, and we're sowing for the future outcomes of our lives. That means that we have a sense of responsibility to farm well. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a good farmer. Be a good farmer. Be a good farmer, because the harvest is important. The harvest is a priority. The harvest is valuable, and we don't want to let slip through our fingers what God has promised to us. And so week one, we started with the thought of just encouraging each other not to allow the season that you're in or the circumstance that you find yourself in to hinder you or to hold you back from sowing good seeds. And our thought was, sow no matter what. Sow no matter what. The Bible says this. This is our text that we've launched from. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. God has not called us to stare. He's not called us to stare at the weather. He's not called us to stare at the future. He's called us to be a farmer, and he's called us to be ones that would sow. The next verse says, just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. We plant, God grows. We plant, God grows. That's the truth of the Word of God. The next verse is interesting because it says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or the other, or maybe both. And so Solomon, in his wisdom, says, sow in the morning and work all day. Don't sow and then sit back. Sow and work, because you really don't know what God's going to do with that seed. You really don't know what that seed will become and will develop in your life. And so he's talking about being an active farmer. He's talking about being engaged in building the kind of life that you want for your future. So the people that wait, the people that watch, the people that linger, the people that are hindered, people that are waiting for perfect conditions, Solomon says, they never sow, they never plant, and they will never reap what they want in life. They will live wishfully, they will live hopefully, but they will not receive the harvest that they desire. And so if you hold back, if you're holding back today, if you've got the handbrake on, let it go. Let it go and sow for the desired future and the desired harvest that you want. Week one, I talked about the need to see the future. But today I want to talk about not only seeing the future, I want to talk about seeding the future. Not just seeing it, but seeding the future. In Genesis, the book of origins, way back in the beginning, in chapter 8, it talks about this in verse 22. It says, as long as the earth endures, in other words, forever, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I doubt if anybody got up today, doubting that the sun would come up. The sun's come up every day of my life. For 61 years, the sun has come up and the moon has come up. Sun comes up in the day and the moon comes up to light the night. Summer has happened every season that it should have happened. Winter has happened every season that it should have happened. It has never ceased. Now, we understand these laws. We understand that summer is on its way. You can feel it right now. The season is about to change and it's coming. Whether you like it or not, it is on its way. It's a truth. It's a law. It's a principle that we live with and that we understand. And right in the middle of all this, in this verse, seed time and harvest is mentioned as a law also, as a season also. There's a season to plant and there's a season to harvest. It's a universal law built into the way that life works, built into the what I call the creative process for building and designing life. Here's my first big thought for today. Our future, the future, is in your now. The future is in your now. In other words, the future is right here for you today in terms of the things that you're doing, the things that you're thinking, the things that you're saying, the habits you have, the behaviors you have, the actions you have, the faith you have, the sacrifice you have. They are all seeds that we sow for our future. I'd like you to imagine your life like an empty field. Like a barren field, like a field that all it has is soil, just soil that has been prepared and ready to have seed sown in it. It's a picture of a life that is full of all kinds of opportunity and all kinds of options. It's a field that's full of possibilities and potential, and it's just waiting for the seeds to be planted. That's what our lives are like. Our lives are like a field that we plant seed in every area of life. Now, there's a agricultural law that tells us this, that whether you plant something or you don't plant something, you're going to reap a harvest. Whether you plant or not, you will reap a harvest. There's always a harvest. It's either by design or by default. And what a good farmer does is he designs for a harvest. He designs for a harvest. He just doesn't wish for one. He just doesn't pray for one. He believes for one as he plants the seed, does the work, and puts his hope and trust in God. People that are passive in terms of sowing and people that are passive in terms of their desired harvest, they will harvest, but it will be a harvest of weeds. Have you noticed that weeds grow everywhere? Weeds don't need any encouragement to grow. Weeds will grow in every crack, in every little bit of space that there is. They will grow. They will grow in a drought. They will grow in a famine. They don't need rain. They don't need any fertilizer. They don't need any help. They just grow. They grow everywhere through the soil. That's the harvest that you get when you're passive. You get a harvest of weeds. People that are passive end up with a harvest of, I don't care, weeds. In other words, I really don't care about the future, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to sow for it. I'm not going to plan for it. I'm not going to plan for it. I'm not going to care for it. And so they get a harvest of, I don't care. Some people get a harvest of, all I want to do is have fun, weeds. All I want to do is have fun. All I want to do is enjoy my life. And joy and enjoying life is an important part of life, but it's not what life is all about. There's other aspects of life that are important also. So you can't afford to be passive. For some, they are having a harvest, or they can expect a harvest of TikTok, a TikTok harvest, which is probably not going to be real good for you, or a gaming harvest, people that just game all the time. That's what their future is going to look like, because your future is in your now. You know, church, God looks at our lives kind of the same way that I've explained it, that God gives us the ability to sow, the ability to grow a harvest in our lives, the ability to create our future harvest. And lots of believers are hindered by this thought of, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do in life? And you know, it's okay to seek clarity from God. That's actually the right thing to do, is to seek clarity. But if that seeking of clarity is hindering us from doing anything, then something's wrong. Because God doesn't mind the question, but what he wants is action. What he wants is someone that will invest and sow in his kingdom. Because God never sows the seed for us. It's our field, it's our life, it's our opportunity, it's our option, it's our possibility, and what God gives us is the freedom of choice, and he calls us to be involved in the creative process of building the future that we want. You're not going to have an amazing future just because you're a believer. You're not going to have an amazing future just because you're a person of faith. In actual fact, if you are a person of faith, you're a person of action. If you are a person of faith, you're a good farmer. You're someone that understands these laws of faith, these principles of faith, and you put them in action. If you're a person of faith, you've been given the creative ability to turn things around. Yeah. Everyone say it, turn it around. Who sang that song? Yeah. Yeah, the husky voice girl, Bonnie Tyler. Turn around every now and then. Turn around. We can turn things around. Because you might be thinking today, I'm living in a harvest I didn't plant. I'm living in a harvest that I don't deserve. I'm living in a harvest I didn't design. I didn't create this harvest. And that's a fair thought, because we're affected by the harvest of others sometimes. That happens in life. And I want to encourage you today, don't let that stop you from sowing for the future that you actually want. Don't let that stop you from sowing for a future that you want to design. Don't hold back because you feel held back. The good news is you can sow for a better, brighter, bigger future today, no matter where you're at. So wherever you're at, is that's simply where you're at, but that's not where you're meant to stay. Yeah. You're not meant to stay where you're at in terms of things. We're called to develop and to grow and to be prospered by the hand of God in all aspects of life. And so if you feel like you're living in an undeserved harvest today, then you can begin to sow seed towards the harvest you feel you deserve and also the harvest that you desire. The more you seed your future with the good, the less room there is for weeds. The less room there is for weeds. The more you grow, the more you develop, the more you plan, the more you strategize, the more you invest for the future that you want to have, the future that you want to build, the person that you want to be, what happens is you drive out space for weeds. I think a big problem for a lot of people is they just leave far too much space for weeds to grow. Far too much space for weeds to grow. So we can seed a better future for ourselves, for our families, for our children, for our children's children, for our church, for the legacy that we want to live, for the life message that we want to leave for people. We can build a better future. Who'd like to build a better future? Come on, who'd like to be a better person in 10 years' time, have a better life? Better for your family, better for your loved ones. That's what we want. We don't want same old, same old. We don't want to be the same old person. If your friends come up to you and go, you haven't changed a bit, that's crazy. You want to be unrecognizable. You want to surprise them. You want to be looking back at those guys and girls you went to school with when you're in your 40s. You want to look back when you go to a school reunion and you want to be able to say to them, you have no idea who I am now. I might have some aspects of my face. There's some similarity. Same face. I mean, there's a similarity that you remember me, but you really don't know me. You don't know me because the person I was is not who I am, and who I am is not who I will be. I'm always changing. We're changing to become better versions of ourselves because of the grace of God, because of the purpose of God, because of the plan of God. We're not staying in the pain. Anyone going to stay in the pain? Don't stay in the pain. Don't stay in the darkness. Don't stay in the shadows. Don't live there. Don't camp there. Don't stay there. That harvest may have come, but you can determine that you're going to do better. You know, where your life at is not meant to be, where your life's at is not meant to be a permanent location. And so don't ever allow a temporary season to become your place of residence. Don't allow it to become your place of residence. If we embrace, if we engage, and if we accept the responsibility we have been given by God to be a good farmer and to sow for good, then we can create a better harvest for the future. So never stop sowing seed for a better, bigger, brighter future. Better health. You can have better health. You can work on that. There are things you can do. There are habits you can stop. There are new habits you can adopt. There's advice you can follow. There's people you can learn from. We can develop better health for many of us. We can develop better wealth. We can become more responsible with the way we do our money. We can learn better spending habits, saving habits, investing habits. We can learn to be more entrepreneurial, more creative. We can honor God with our finances and pray and believe for the blessing of God on our lives. We can live that way and live the word of God in that regard and believe for the blessing and the favor of God. We can live and invest for better connection and community and relationship with people in our lives. They're seeds that we sow. We can sow for our family. We can sow for our faith. We can sow for our church. We can sow for the legacy that we will be known for. That's all part of what God has given us the power to do and the power to be. Here's a big thought I have for some people in the room today. Don't delegate to God what God has delegated to you. Don't delegate to God what God has delegated to you. There are certain things that God has delegated to you. And although God be God, he's going to leave some things up to you. He's not going to manipulate and control you. He's not going to dominate those areas of your life. It's a space that he has left up to us. Like many people are asking for God to show them something when God's sitting back and said, you sow something. You sow something. This is not about me showing. This is about you sowing. That's what Good Farmer is all about. There's no show that God's got. What there is there's sowing. The Good Farmer learns the principle of sowing and reaping. You see, our future, left to itself, will never get to a good place. It'll be weedy. It'll be full of crabgrass. It'll be full of nasties and things that we don't want to receive as a harvest in life. So wishing for a good harvest is not the same as sowing for it. Praying for a good harvest is not the same as praying for it. You see, a farmer just doesn't sit on the deck. He just doesn't sit on the veranda and wish and pray that that would be a good harvest. What he does is he sows the seed. He does the work. He fills his heart with hope. And he prays. And what we do is when we are good farmers and practicing the principles of good farmer, we sow, we work, we hope, and we pray. So it's not that we don't pray, we do pray. But a lot of people, all they do is pray and no sowing and no working and no confident expectation in the hand of God to move. Be a good farmer. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a good farmer. Be a good farmer. You know, tomorrow's harvest, here's my second big thought, tomorrow's harvest is determined by today's seed. Tomorrow's harvest is determined by the kinds of seeds that you sow, that we sow. That's what the harvest is determined by. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 11, it says this, where in the creative process that when God created our world, it says, God said, let the land produce vegetation. And it says, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds. So God in the natural created trees and plants that have seed-bearing fruit that will develop and produce the same tree, the same plant that it has inside of it. You know, gorillas don't produce donkeys. Donkeys don't produce giraffes. It's not rocket science. We live with this stuff. We understand this stuff. Kind after kind is what we create. And so the seeds we sow determine the harvest we get. The New Testament says the same thing. In Galatians 6:7, it says, God won't be mocked. You'll always harvest what you plant. You'll always harvest what you sow. So the kind of seed we sow determines the kind of harvest that we will receive. So everything grows, everything increases, everything multiplies and produces kind after kind. It's no surprise to me that friendly people have friends everywhere. That's no surprise to me. Because what are they sowing? Seeds of friendship. Seeds of connection, seeds of community. It's no surprise to me that a lonely person has loneliness around their life because they isolate, they polarize, they shut down because of this thought, nobody likes me, nobody talks to me, nobody wants to be around me. And that projection is a seed that's sown to many. And so therefore, we find ourselves alone when we sow that kind of seed because it's kind after kind. You see, the future is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. Choice. Have a choice future. A choice future, not a chance future. You're not gambling with it. You're not playing with it. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of what I'm going to sow will be what will grow. So know your seed. Know what the seed has in it. If you're going to sow a seed in the ground, you see, a farmer is very intentional about knowing what the seed is, because that determines the harvest that he will receive. He's not going to sow and just get a surprise. Put the seed in the ground, let's see what happens. Let's see what I grow. Who knows what I'll grow? It could be mango trees. It could be watermelons. Could be pumpkins. It could be whatever. No one wants to grow life like that. You want to invest wisely. You want to sow smartly. You want to know what's in the seed that you're investing in your life, and you sow it. If you don't sow your seed, God can't grow it. God does the growing. We do the sowing. God does the growing, we do the sowing. We do that, we do our work, we pray, and we fill our hearts with belief. And so if you want good relationships, if you want good connection, if you want a good sense of community with other people, you've got to sow that. So how do you sow that? Well, you value people. You value relationships. You value time with people. You make room for people. You seed those connections. You do the little things that will encourage that harvest of richness in relationship. Like, sometimes people say things to me, and I hear these thoughts from people sometimes, that, you know, nobody in church likes me. I don't have any friends in church. And oftentimes I'll look at that person who's saying that, and it's like they're so disconnected in their behaviors. The seeds they sow are seeds of disconnection, where they might come to church once a month. Once a month we might see a face. And look, I appreciate the fact that some come once a month rather than not at all, but coming once a month doesn't really sow seeds of connection. Coming late and leaving early doesn't sow seeds of community and friendship. Missing out on a hospitality opportunity, that's an opportunity to connect. That's an opportunity to sit around a table. That's an opportunity to have some food together, some coffee together, some conversation together. Like, things like connect groups and the different opportunities we give people to gather, they are opportunities to connect relationally, like we did with the guys last night. We did it over food. We had the barbecues on. We had free steaks. We had a 30 kilogram pig, which we pulverized. We just had a great night with about, 55, 60 guys, everyone except Neil. And we had a great time, Neil. We had an amazing time. There's none left over. We just ate to our heart's content. We talked about mental health. We had some conversation, some connection. And that's how you build community, relationship, and friendship with people. Once again, it's not rocket science. It's about the seed that you sow. So if you want friends in church, just get around people. Serve on a team. Get yourself on a team. That's always a great way to meet people if you're not good at meeting people. If you don't sow seeds of connection, what you'll feel is the harvest of rejection. Rejection. And I've heard that time and time again from people in church life. I feel like I'm rejected. I feel like I'm not accepted. I feel like I'm not loved. I'm not valued. Here's my thought and my response to that is, nobody else can make you feel anything. Your feelings are your feelings, but your feelings are not always real. Your feelings are not always real. And sometimes we just need to sit back and go, you know what? What I'm sowing is not a good seed here right now, because I'm feeling this seed of rejection. Start to plant some seeds of connection and community, and I promise you, you will feel connection and you will feel community, because what's in that seed is what the harvest will be. It's what's in the seed that will determine the harvest that you will receive. And we can never complain. We can never complain. I can complain because the words aren't up there. I missed them, but we can never complain for a harvest that we've not planted. We can never complain about a harvest that we've not planted. For instance, if you want If you want a financial harvest in your future and you want to get better with your money, then here's some thoughts. First thing you do as a believer is you tithe and you honor God. You sort that out. You settle that. You get that settled in your mind that you're going to live before the Lord honorably, like the Bible talks about. And you're going to honor Him with the tithe, the first fruits of everything that your land or your hand produces. That's the promise of God. And then He promises to bless you. Now, I've told you this story many times, but I started tithing when I was a young boy, when I got my first job packing potatoes and onions in a little supermarket around the corner from our home, and I used to earn $2.50, and I'd bring my tithe of 25 cents to the Lord. I mean, yeah, the pastor and the church were really living big on my tithe. 25 cents. Now, you know what I'm thankful about? I'm thankful about the fact that that established within me a habit, a principle, a truth, when it was only 25 cents. And now, many years later, it's grown a lot what we give collectively to tithe and to offerings and to, you know, legacy fund and everything that we do, missions as a church. And as leaders, we're involved in all of those areas of giving. And it's not an issue, because you know why? Because I settled the issue when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy, that principle was taught to me. That instruction has stayed with me. And because I learned to be faithful with the small, it's much easier to be faithful with much. It's much easier to be faithful with much. It's always problematic for people that have much that never learned the principle of giving when they had little. Just turn to your neighbor and nod. Yeah. Just say, that's good preaching. It's good preaching. It's always hard. It's always hard for people to give when they've not given and they're earning big. These things that you learn when you're young, they will hold you in good stead. It's a biblical principle. Jesus said this, the one that's faithful with the little will be faithful with the lot. In other words, you've learned a habit, you learn a principle, you learn a truth way back early, and it's easy to maintain. It's like some of the other habits that we have in life. If you can learn them young, they will hold you in good stead right throughout your life. Mums and dads, parents, never underestimate the power of the little things you're teaching your kids, you're teaching your children, by bringing them to the house of the Lord. That also has a negative, because they're watching everything you do. Those that are liars, they're watching everything that you do. Every habit they will have, you have. So get rid of all your bad habits, put them in the closet, hide them, get them out of your life, because the kids are going to pick them up. The kids are going to bring those into their world, into their life. So never underestimate the power of what you do and the influence that you have as a big person. The other thing you can do for financial harvest in the future is we can behave in other areas. Like you can look for creative ways to add value at your workplace. You can be the best possible employee at your workplace. Now, I talked to our trainees about this all week in terms of their attitude. These young people and mature age people that we're working with through the Skilling Queenslanders for Work program. We're coaching them. We're developing them to be job ready. Many of them have never had a job. Never had a job. They have massive barriers educationally, socially, relationally, financially, health-wise, mental health-wise, whatever it might be. And we're working with them. And I talk to them about understanding what it costs an employer to employ them. What it costs the boss to employ them, and what it means for someone to employ them, and the fact that they need to bring value to the business, value to what whoever they're working for, so that they become a valuable employee. A valuable employee, meaning this, that employees don't make it all about their entitlements. Yes, our entitlements are important, but don't live with the spirit of entitlement. Live with that entrepreneurial spirit that and thought that says, if this was my business, what kind of employee would I want? And I'm going to be that employee. I'm going to be that employee that the boss will be proud of. I'm going to be that employee that will be noticed. I'm going to be that employee that will do more than's required of me. I'm going to go above, and I'm going to go beyond, and I'm going to seed and invest in my future. Proverbs 27 talks about it. It says, as workers who tend a fig tree are allowed to eat the fruit, so workers who protect their employer's interests will be rewarded. Will be rewarded. And that's a harvest that comes because we add value and we bring value. It's a biblical principle. Joseph lived it. Joseph in the Old Testament, he didn't have the most promising start in life. He had some amazing dreams given to him by God of greatness, and his brothers, well, they beat him up for that. They threw him in a pit and they sold him to slave traders. And so their brother Joseph was then taken off to Egypt, and he was purchased by a man called Potiphar and worked as a slave in his house. And then you know the story, he got falsely accused and was put in prison for quite a number of years. And while he's in prison in this season, in this circumstance, he just keeps sowing good seed. He just kept sowing good seed in spite of the season he was in. That was undeserved, that was undesigned. He didn't want it. That wasn't the future that he dreamt of. That wasn't what he saw when God gave him this heavenly vision about greatness that would be on his life. Here he is in a prison, but he still finds a way to serve. He still finds a way to sow good seed for the future that he wants. And he gets divinely promoted out of the prison to become the second most powerful leader in all the nation of Egypt, and becomes the prime minister, second only to Pharaoh. Sowing good seed will always get you out of the position that you're in that you feel is undeserved, that is unfair, that is unwarranted, that you're imprisoned by. It'll open prison doors. It'll set the captive free. When we learn the principles of good farmer and we learn to sow good seed no matter what, No matter what, I'm going to choose the seed I want to sow for the future person I want to be, for the future I want for my family, for the future I want for my finances, for the future I want for my health, for the future I want for my faith, for the future I want for my church and our church. And I'm talking to our church about this right now because we are in the processes of designing future church. Future church. And future church is seeded by now church. Now church seeds for the future. The church of 20 years' time will be the result of seeds we sow now, we water now, we work for now, we pray over now, we invest in now. That will be what future church is. And so we need to be good farmer in terms of that, accept responsibility for that, engage for that, because it's not just about the church I want today, it's the church I want in 20 years. It's not about the life I live now, it's about the life I want to live in 20 years. It's not about what my family is now. It's what my family will be in 20 years' time. I don't want us to have a vision for 5 years. I don't want us to have a vision for 10 years. I don't want us to have a vision for 20 years, 30 years, or 50 years. I want us to have a 100-year vision, a 500-year vision, a right up until Jesus comes back vision, a vision that will outlive who we are, a vision that we will never see fulfilled, a vision that we can't even imagine. And yes, it's way out there, and so it should be. I look at the horizon, you know, I've never arrived there. I look at where the sun sets, you know, I've never found it. I look at where it comes up, it doesn't matter how far I travel, I'm never going to discover that point. The pot of gold is at the end of the rainbow, they tell me. Where is the end? Still searching for that rainbow. And so I live big. I don't live with a sense of slowing down, shutting down, decreasing, holding back, handbrake on, taking it easy, sitting on the deck, sitting on the veranda, feet up. I live purposely, intentionally, and sow seeds as a good farmer. So we can always sow seed for the future that we want. You know, in our personal worlds, in our church world, or whatever space in life, the field may at times be barren, it may be empty, it may only look like soil. But can I say to you and to us, that's the best time to sow. That's the best time to sow. There's an old Chinese proverb. If you wonder where I get these Chinese proverbs from, I know a lot of Chinese friends. Old Chinese proverb. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. See, everyone wants a tree. Nothing better than seeing a beautiful, big tree. And you think, I want that in my yard. I see them all the time and think, I want that at my place. The problem is, I can't just dig up that 100-year-old tree and plant it at my place, because I'm probably going to kill it. But I can plant a seed. I can plant a seed that will grow. And it might be a tree that I'll never really see the full expression of, but it will be a tree. It will be a tree. And you're planting trees today. You're planting trees. When I was in the Philippines just a few weeks ago with Heath, and we visited with Pastor Jonathan, Navolta, and Jubilee, and Abel, and Leonilla, their mother, and visited the mission that we're going to get involved with. And they're watching today, so good morning to all of them. And Wally Jr. also. When we're on the complex where the ministry is conducted from, and the school is, we were sitting there having breakfast with Leonilla and the family every morning as we do, and Leonilla was just talking to us, and I asked about the trees on the property, because right down the middle of the property there's all these beautiful big trees, amazing trees, and they provide shade for everybody. And because I've got a tree thing, you know, I don't know what your thing is, but mine is little black bags, and I love trees. And so I looked at these trees, and I said, who planted the trees? And she smiled, and she said, Wally, who was her late husband. She said, Wally and I, we planted those trees. We planted those trees when we first came here. We planted those trees when there was nothing. We planted those trees before any buildings. We planted the seedlings of those trees. Are those trees today a centerpiece for the ministry, for the families, for the grandchildren who climb the trees? Who planted the tree? Their granddad planted the tree. That's who planted the tree. And then we went out to the place, and they took us to the cemetery where Pastor Wally Sr. is resting, where Mia, Jonathan's wife, is resting. They both passed away recently. And they took us to this beautiful block of land that the family own and showed us where the graves were. And so we went there to honor Pastor Wally and Mia. And once again, there was trees on the land. And there was trees over where Pastor Wally was buried. And I said, who planted these trees? And they said, Dad planted these trees. So here's Pastor Wally now, resting under the shade of the trees that he planted. And I just stood there, and it was just like a God moment. Like, what a beautiful thing that you could plant trees that look nothing like trees when you plant them. They're little. You can put them in the ground, and they will grow. And you mightn't see all the growth in your lifetime, but they will grow. And others can enjoy them. And not only others could enjoy them, that you could even rest under the shade of those trees. And you could be remembered, and you could have a sense of legacy because of the fact that you were a good farmer. And you practice good farmer principles from the Word of God no matter what. You see, the best time to plant a seed is now. Now, don't let the regrets of yesterday or even today hinder you and hold you back and cause you to have the handbrake on when it comes to planting and sowing and reaping. I'm going to close with this amazing story. There's an amazing story in the Bible. I'm going to come back to it probably and preach on this, but there's an amazing story in Genesis chapter 26 about Isaac, who was on his way to Egypt because there was famine in the land. And he stops at a place called Gerar in Genesis 26, verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses to you and tell you about them. In verse 1, it says, a severe famine struck the land, as it happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar. In other words, it was a hard season. It was a famine season. It was an impoverished season of lack. Verse 2, the Lord appears to Isaac and said, don't go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Do as I tell you. In other words, don't leave this place, listen for my will. Don't leave this place, listen for my word. Don't leave this place, listen for what I've got to say. Verse 3, this is what God says. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. And so the promise that God was giving was, I'm going to bless you in this land, in this season, in this circumstance of famine. So verse 12 tells us the response of Isaac, and it says this. It says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, in other words, he sowed seeds in a season of famine. When other farmers were packing up, walking off and heading to Egypt, because Egypt was a safe place where there was food supplies, Isaac stayed because God told him to. And Isaac planted in a season that was unusual. And he planted seed. It says Isaac planted his crop that year. He harvested 100 times more grain than he planted because the Lord blessed him. And so he harvested in the same year that he planted 100 times more than he had sown because God blessed him. In verse 13, we're told that Isaac became very rich and his wealth continued to grow. And then finally, this is just a helicopter view. We're going to preach about this. Verse 14, it says his enemies envied him. It says the Philistines became jealous of him because he had so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle. He became so wealthy, so prosperous, so influential, so big, so bright, so much better because God blessed him in a season of famine. In what year? In the year that everyone else was given up on, in the year that everyone else walked away, in the year that everyone else said, I can't do this anymore, farming's not working for me, I'm going to go to Egypt and I'm just going to get a job. He stayed because God said, stay here as a foreigner and I will bless you in this place. Even in this place he didn't want to be, God said, I'm going to bless you in this place. You know, for Isaac, it would have been a whole lot easier just to pack up, and a whole lot easier just to leave because of the famine like everyone else was. It's easy to leave like Isaac when things are not working for you, when life's not working for you. It's easy to leave. It's easy to listen to other farmers who tell you, don't waste your seed, don't plant your seed. It's famine, there's no rain, the weather's not right. You need to wait for perfect conditions. We're all packing up, we're all selling off, we're all going to Egypt. Isaac, you're a fool, man, don't stay here. You're going to die in this land. This land is going to kill you. This season is going to be the end of you. But Isaac had a word from God. Isaac had a promise from God. Isaac had a command from God, and he took God at his word. We started our service this morning by singing it. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to take you at your word. And it talks about the chaos changing. The chaos changing because of the word of God, because of the promise of God, because of the blessing of God. And so what Isaac did was he sowed good seeds even though there was no sign of this is a good deal. He sowed anyway. He sowed no matter what. He sowed in an unusual season and he reaped an unusual harvest. Would you stand with me? I want to pray today. I want to pray for people today. I want to pray for all of us today. I want to pray that God would help us in this season, whatever your season is, whatever your circumstance is. Help you individually, help your family, help our church collectively, that God would help, God would in this season, no matter what the season looks like, no matter what the season sounds like, that we would be people of faith like Isaac was. And we'd understand that we have a God that knows what the season is, and a God that can bring change in any season, growth in any season. He can do the unusual in any season if we plant the seed. It's all about the seed. It's all about giving God something to work with. It's all about giving God something to open up, something to germinate, something to populate, something to grow. rather than just weeds. I don't want the weeds. I hate weeds. I'm a weed killer. On my property, our property, I walk around killing weeds all the time. Killing them all the time. Cheryl doesn't like it because I sometimes use chemicals. But I have a no matter what attitude. I kill that thing. I kill that thing. See, if I was only on a small little property, I'd pull them out by hand. I don't have time for that. I kill en masse. All that crab claw, whatever you call it, and weeds, prickles. I'm coming after you. I'm just going to spray the whole thing. Just chew. Got time to be pretty. So I'll get my PPE gear on. Get my safety gear. Get my goggles. Get my mask. Get my backpack. My gum boots. Safety pants. Look like I'm an astronaut. Because I'm going into war. I'm after every weed. I'm after every prickle. I'm after everything that doesn't belong in my ground. It doesn't belong in my harvest. Don't be happy about your weeds. Come on. Don't play with your weeds. If you're getting pricked, it's because of the weeds. If they're nasty, go after them. Pop up, little weed. I'm coming after you. There's some weeds. Lift out your hands today. Come on, lift out your hands, church. We're going to pray for you. And then the team are going to sing something. I have no idea what they're going to sing. But they're going to sing one of those God come in the room right now song and do something. Come on, Father, we just lift our hands to you today. And this represents the fields of our life. And in some of our fields, there's just clear soil today, ready for a beautiful seeds to be planted and harvest to come. And other fields are a bit used, God. They're a bit overrun. The ground's a bit hard. We want to break it up today. We want to break up that ground. Some have got weeds today, weeds they don't even know, weeds that have grown because people have failed to sow in those fields of life. And I pray today, help us to be wise farmers and not just chance the future. It's not worth the risk, but to really have a future that we design, that we understand our role in the creative process, Father, that we can sow towards a future personally, individually, collectively, as a church. Help us to be good farmers, is what I pray. Help us to take you at your word, like Isaac. To take you at your word. Because when we take you at your word, we give you the rite of passage to change the chaos. To change the chaos and turn it around. So there are harvests in this room that we're speaking to right now. And we're praying, God, for those harvests. Some of them are not good. Stop them. Stop them. Stop them right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for new seeds to be planted. Wherever people are at today, they can take control and plant seeds for a better harvest and trees that they will enjoy in years to come, in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, that their children will enjoy, that their church will enjoy in days to come. And so today, we pull down our good farmer workwear and we are ready to go. We are ready to sow. We are ready to grow. We are ready to weed out. We are ready to do the work. work, and we are ready, God, to pray and believe and have a confident expectation that you're going to help grow the harvest that you have planned for us and that we have planned and planted and sown for. In Jesus' precious, powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Let's take a moment to sing and worship.
Well, what an amazing time this morning. Come on. Some time of connection and some great coffee. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.